Exodus chapter 14. We'll just read a couple verses. Exodus chapter 14, verse 13 and 14. And Moses said unto the people, "Fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. And the Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace." Wow. Isn't that something? "See the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. And the Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace." Lord, we thank you so much for your word and for your encouragement and for the very fact that you are in control even in this very hour that we're living in. In a day when our world is in such a chaotic state of mind, when people are running every direction in fear and worry and turmoil, in spite of it all, Lord, you are still in control. And you know exactly what you're going to do next. And I thank you, Lord, because you're mindful of us. And the only reason this earth was put here was that you could put us here to have fellowship with you. And I know your plan is working. And I thank you for it, Lord, this morning. And I pray that you encourage every person. If there's any here that are lost or undone or backslid, Lord, touch their lives and let them realize how much that you love them and that you care for them. And for those that are here this morning in worry and in dismay, I pray, Lord, that you soothe their conscience with your word, with your power, Lord, and with your touch. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. No question about it, folks are under attack. And the devil and hell is on the loose. I believe that. I think that we're in a day and an hour when we are witnessing a move of the devil, a move of hell, a move of the spirit world, the darkness of the spirit world. I think we're seeing a moving of it like we've never witnessed before in our lifetime. And certainly, I believe also in the world, in the time that it's been here. I don't think there's anything been like this. Paul made it clear that where sin doth abound, grace doth much more abound. And so it's important for us to realize that. No doubt about it, he made that clear because, the pressures of life will increase, and they are. We had some ladies here last week for the first time. We missed them both this morning. One of them, in particular, a precious lady, I called her yesterday and found out that she was here Sunday and Monday. She had a heart attack. And she was saying, I was wondering how I could get a hold of you. So she was glad to talk. I told her we'd be praying. And she said, please do. And so she's asking for our prayers. Isn't it interesting how that you make a move to step up or to push yourself out and to get going again? You know, sometimes we let things knock us back or we let things slow us down. It can be a physical issue, but certainly spiritual, mental worries and stresses. Those are things that, all those things are things that push us backward if we allow them to. It's hard. You know, when you're going through a physical situation, it's like Sister Ida in such pain. Well, she couldn't carry on a good conversation. She didn't feel like it. I called her once and tried to talk with her. You know, she was polite, but she just told me, she said, I can't talk. And you could hear the hurting in her voice. I've had some pains myself, gallbladder trouble, stuff like that, that just made me kind of freaky out, and, you know, just freaking out in pain, just all crazy. And, oh, man, last thing I want to do is answer 10 questions about what I was feeling like. I'm just hurt. I couldn't talk. And there's situations that we can get into. It's hard to pray. That's why it's important to have you praying done prior to the events. You know, everybody deals with trouble, saint or sinner. It doesn't matter. Well, you can say, I was in a store just Friday, I think it was, and I heard that Billy Joel singing that song, "I'd rather laugh with the sinners than cry with the saints." And I just stopped, and I listened to that for a second. I thought, how stupid that is. How stupid that is right there. listening to that dude, and God bless his heart. You're supposed to say that after you say something stupid about somebody, right? Then that makes it all right. Is that how it works? Yeah, yeah. You know, you say, that dude's stupid. God bless his heart. Well, bless his heart. I mean, I hope the guy gets saved. That's what I was thinking. I thought, man, you ain't got a clue what you're talking about. Not all tears are bad. And, you know, we're going to look here in a second at these folks here, these children of Israel, but I can't help. I'm right here right at the moment. So I need to deal with it a little bit. And that is the very fact that they started complaining to Moses about their circumstance. Oh, you know, we do that sometimes. Things are coming at us hard. And we'll stop and we'll question. Why am I here? Why is this happening? What did I do? And then we'll go a little farther. If we're not careful, then we get a little, we get a little out of hand with it. We'll start saying, God, why are you doing this to me? Or why are you putting this me through this, Lord? Or what have I done to deserve this? We start asking kind of crazy questions. You know, questions are not so bad, but crazy questions will get you in trouble. And so let's look real quick. Here, I want you to see what the children of Israel had to say. They made the comment. They said, it would have been better that we'd have died in Egypt as slaves to Pharaoh than to come out here and die in this wilderness. You know, this week I've thought about that. I've stopped and I've pondered on that every time I read it and every time I listened to it. And I thought, why would you say that? Why would you say that? Why would you say that it would have been better that I would have died a slave back there in my bondage than to die a free man out here in this wilderness? I mean, I understand that when you're out in the wilderness, there's some tough times. It gets hot, but it gets hot in slavery too. I understand that sometimes food is scarce, but it's scarce in slavery too. These people complained to the point they just said, we'd have rather died slaves than to been out here running around free in this wilderness and dying. They were just scared. They were allowing their fear to control them. Now, I read just the other day, the difference between concern and worry is that with concern, you're in control. But with worry or fear, it's in control. And that is very true. You know, you can be concerned about a situation. You can be concerned about lost loved ones. You can be concerned about your finances. You can be concerned about the economy. I understand that. It's kind of hard not to be a little concerned. But being concerned about it is one thing. Being totally wiped out over it in fear is another. Now, Paul made it clear to Timothy when he was talking to him. He said, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. You think about that for a minute. Power, love, a sound mind. If you start thinking about what all can be done if you have the power of God in your life, a sound mind and love toward others, oh, you're talking about a limitless life in Christ Jesus right there. But when you allow fear to take over, now, we're not talking about the fear of God, the reverence of God. We're talking about the fear of man, the fear of the devil, the fear of the problem, the fear of sickness, the fear of all these other things. That totally dominates your life, and it will destroy you. It will destroy you spiritually, and it will destroy you mentally, and it will destroy you physically. No question about it. And so we're in a day that we're having to combat that. That's one of our main things that we're having to fight against, because the devil understands that fear absolutely works. Jesus knew that that would be something the devil would use even more so in the last days, because he made it clear that in the last days, men's hearts would fail them because of fear. Yes. Well, here we see an example of people that were in a tight situation. The children of Israel had it, when you looked at it from the physical standpoint, from the natural, these folks were in trouble. They had a lot going against them, it looked like, didn't it? I mean, here, but you know, if you remember what God said here in the very first section of chapter 14, the Lord spoke to Moses, said, speaking to the children of Israel, that they turn and encamp. And he begins to describe the area that I want them to camp in. And I looked up some of those words. They're kind of weird words, so I ain't going to try to read them. But, you know, it was basically, you know, there was like this mountain like that they called a tower on one side and another one similar to it near them. They had the wilderness behind them, and in front of them was the Red Sea. God had the children of Israel camp right on the Red Sea. It's almost as if he set them up for trouble. But maybe he wasn't setting them up for trouble. Maybe he was setting the enemy up for the trouble. For Pharaoh, this is God talking, for Pharaoh will say unto the children of the children of Israel, this is verse 3, they are entangled in the land and the wilderness hath shut them in. See, the devil looks at things very naturally. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and he will follow after them. And I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all the host and the Egyptians. God's going to have his way. So here the Lord is telling Moses, you tell the children of Israel where I want them to camp. And yeah, it's in a tough spot. Matter of fact, one of the names of one of those places was called the Mouth. And it seemed as if he almost parked them right in the mouth of trouble, and really in a way he did. But listen. Verse 4 says, at the conclusion of what God had told them to do, verse 4 says, and they did so. Talk about the children of Israel. I really like that. And they did so. At that point, they were gullible enough and honest enough and trusting enough to do what God said. They hadn't started falling apart yet. They did what God told them to do. They camped where he told them to camp, and they did so. Oh, for a people today, for a church today that would just do so. Do so, whatever it is that God says. Yeah, just trust him. Believe in him. Lean on him. Lean not unto our own understanding, but lean on the things of God. And that's what they've done. They've done so. And it was told the king of Egypt that the people had fled. And so here he comes. Pharaoh begins his pursuit. He comes after him in such a way that the children of Israel begin to absolutely lose composure. They could hear it. They probably could hear him before they could see him. And if that desert behind them, if there was any flatness to it at all, they seen the cloud of dust coming. Like almost like a tornado or a whirlwind or a dust storm boiling up off the ground. They could feel the thunder. They could hear all of that happening. They seen him coming, and you know their hearts began to melt inside. One of the reasons they said it'd been better to be a slave back there than to die out here is because at least as a slave, we would work till we died, not be tortured or beaten. And yet they'd forgotten. They're back there as slaves. They were being beaten. And so their hearts began to fall apart as they watched Pharaoh coming. And they began to complain to Moses, saying, hey, why'd you do this? We talked to you. We told you how it'd be, but you wouldn't listen to us. Well, that's a lie. A lie to the very point that they didn't have to come out. They didn't have to leave. They could have stayed back there. At the time, they believed the message because they believed the messenger. Why? Because God was with Moses. And they'd witnessed miracle after miracle, even in Egypt, when all the plagues would come. There was the plagues of frogs and flies and lice and all the other things, the hell, the fire that fell, all of that. They seen it, but they never felt it because God protected them from it. And so while they were there witnessing that, it was easy for them to begin to believe more and more. See, that was as much for the children of Israel to believe in God as it was for Pharaoh to begin to loosen and let go of those folks. God had a plan. But now the children of Israel out here with their backs against a wall or rock in a hard place, so to speak, they find themselves complaining and worrying and fretting. You know, I can look back. I can look back back over my life, and I can tell you in the past 48 years of my Lord, that's a record. Hey, in the past years of my life, you know what? God has brought me through situation after situation, miracle after miracle. I remember different times when I thought, this is it. I don't know how I'm going to make it. I don't know how I'm going to make it financially. I don't know how I'm going to make it physically. I don't know how I'm going to make it mentally. And yet God brought me through. But today, the problems that I'm facing is so engulfing my mind that it's hard for me to remember what it is that God done for me already. Those are our testimonies. We're made overcomers by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. We've got to remember what God has done for us. While the Lord Jesus himself told the church at Ephesus, remember, remember, return to me, repent. That's what he said. Remember, return, repent. Remember, remember what I've done for you. Remember where I brought you from. Remember what I've given you. Remember that. Can you remember? This morning, I've got to stop and slow down long enough to remember a few things. I need to let my old, my dad called it your noggin. I need to let my old noggin kick in. I don't know why he called it that. Hey man, I need to let my old noggin kick in and do some remembrance. You know what? If I remember a little bit, I remember being in revival services when the Spirit of the Lord was moving so great that I didn't care about anything else in this whole world. I can remember, Brother Mickey, that just right over here, right in this spot right here, those steps right there used to come all the way around. And right here where the steps was, I knelt right there one Sunday after Brother Bill Burkett had preached on a message, the Jesus that most Christians do not know. And after he preached that, I seen Christ that day bigger than I had ever seen him before in my life. Oh, I realized what a great Savior I had. And there at that altar, I wept and I cried. And I told the Lord right there, Lord, nothing in this world means anything to me but you. You're the only thing that matters. I didn't care any more about my career. I didn't care any more about the things of this world and what I wanted to have and all that I was working so hard to get and achieve. That morning I prayed and I wept and I cried and I said, oh God, you're the only thing that matters. Oh, it pays to remember experiences like that. We got to remember them. Yeah, I remember youth camps. Oh, I remember. I remember being in youth camp. Brother Fred will bring some of them up sometime. There was, you know, I could tell you different situations. I want to move on. I don't want to deviate from a message, but I'm just telling you, we got to remember a few things. Amen. The devil blocks. He wants to throw up a blockade on your memory. And try to keep you from seeing and hearing and remembering the things that God has done for you. But God makes it clear to us, these are things that we should never forget. Remember it? Brother Josh talked about that just a while ago. Brother Morton's singing, never shall forget that day. Oh, I've got to remember that. You know, see, in all the things that we get, and all the things that we have, nothing is greater than the very fact that there was a day you surrendered your life to Jesus Christ. And you know as well as I do, and all the things that you've tried. Now, some of you maybe been out in sin longer than others, and you came in later in life, and you tried a lot of things. Some of you maybe got saved when you was real young. Then you deviated a little bit and then came back. Some of you got saved when you was little and you've never got off the path. Bless you. Hey man, that's so awesome. That's the goal. That should be the goal of any parent to help lead their child in a way that they can get on the path as early as possible and never leave it. Huh? But I can tell you, most of us in here, if we've experienced anything in this world, we know this. The pleasure that it brings don't last long. Huh? They don't last long. Young people, hear me. You hear the amens of some of these that are here? There's men and women in this place that have been further out in sin than maybe you've went. They've experienced more and had pleasures as far as the world is concerned. They've had about everything you can imagine. And yet, they'll witness just like I will to you right now. Nothing in this world lasts forever. Those pleasures of sin are only for a season and they're short-lived. And then comes the reality. Oh, the scars and the reaping of what you sow. It's no fun. It's no fun. It's no fun. No. Short-lived. But it's over. Then what? And here, I can assure you this morning that when we come to Christ and we surrender everything to Him, that those of you that really have committed your life to Him, you'll say the same thing I'm going to say. There ain't been nothing like that in my life. Nothing even come close to comparing to when I surrendered my life to Jesus Christ, when I knew that He had washed my sins away, when I knowed without a question in my mind that His blood had made me whole. Hallelujah! Oh, there's nothing like that. Nothing like it. Jesus made it clear. He told those that come back, yeah, I understand that once we get saved, we're born again, there's great experiences available. There's things even yet available for the church of this hour that it's never experienced in its history. Yeah. There are those that would believe that, oh, what those disciples did in the book of Acts, well, that was back then. We don't need none of that now. All that old speaking in tongues and all of that, those miracles, oh, you know, those are cool and all, but we're beyond that. Who in the world told you that? The Bible didn't tell you that. No, no, 10,000 times no. The Bible didn't teach you that. That's a man's theory driven by a devil that's trying to seduce men into believing that this is not a day of miracles and God's not what He once was. Hey, He's everything that He once was. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He changes not. That's His word, not mine, and I like it. Hey, you know what? Jesus, He had a group of disciples. I think it's about 70 of them there at one point that went out. They were laying hands on the sick and people were being healed. They were casting out devils, raising up the dead. They were doing everything Jesus told them to do. And they came back rejoicing. Woo! Man, they were pumped up. Boys, about like a basketball team after winning, you know, a tournament or something. They were pumped up. And I could see them old boys coming in. Woo! Man! Ha! Woo-hoo! Yeah, what's going on, boys? Oh, I cast out three devils, man. Woo! Glory to God. They were fired up. Yeah. Yeah. Can't touch this. That's a good thing. It's all right to be fired up. But you got to remember why it is you got the fire. And that's what Jesus seen with them boys. He seen. Yeah, they were fired up. That's all right. He didn't tell them they couldn't rejoice. He said, just don't rejoice because devils are subject. Rejoice. So it's okay to rejoice. Rejoice because your name has been written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Woo! Now that's something to get fired up about this morning. Hey, my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Woo! Hallelujah. Yeah, that's it, Brian. You can run for the Lord on that one, brother. Yeah. Oh, we got something to praise Him about. We got something to be glad about. Our name has been written. I may not have no money this morning. Hey, may have sickness in my body. Things may look rough in this world. Hey, but my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Oh, I've got something to praise Him. Huh? He didn't say rejoice because you got three houses and a farm. He didn't say rejoice because you got your rent paid. He didn't say rejoice because the doctor gave you a good report. He said rejoice because your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Oh, we got something to praise Him about this morning. Hey, man, I know things ain't going so good in this world. It ain't supposed to. How can it go good if it ain't got Jesus? The world has abandoned Christ. Our nation is abandoning Christ at a rate that is astounding every day. We have no choice but to watch it begin to sink into the mire and the muck of sin and become more and more hung in that mess till it can't get loose. I hate that, but it's the way it is. Oh, but there is a remedy this morning. His name is Jesus. He's still able to deliver His people from their sins. He's still able to set His people free and to give them victory over every work of hell. Jesus is able. Jesus is able. Oh, my goodness. Hey, listen, let me tell you a little bit more about these folks. It said that they get in there. They go where God told them to go. Here comes Pharaoh. It's looking bleak. Huh? It's looking bad. Now, remember, they got them here. There's been this cloud that has a pillar of fire in front of them. Yeah. And they're all tore up now. That's supposed to be the presence of God. But what's He doing for us now? Here comes the enemy. And there's God out there. What's He doing over there? He needs to be back yonder. Oh, but then the Bible said that the angel of the Lord that was encamped around them went from the front of them to the back. Hallelujah. Hey, He got between them and Pharaoh. Now, meanwhile, God has told Moses what to do. Stretch out your rod, Moses. I want you to strike that water or whatever. Stretch it out and you're going to see some action now. Moses done what God told him to do. And God blew an east wind in there all night and blew that water back. Blew it back that 3.5 million people could walk over on dry land in one night. I want to tell you, that wasn't a little path 3 foot wide. I can assure you it was several miles wide. It had to be from the walk over. And how tall was that wall of water? I tried to find out, and I ran out of time trying to figure out how many feet high. Why, in Ten Commandments, it was just looked like it was 30 or 40 foot high. Hey, man, maybe in the cartoon, they had fish swimming by there, and you could see them. I don't know if that happened like that or not, might have. But I know one thing. That water was piled up hundreds of feet high. Oh, it was like a cliffside, a mountain on either side of them as God made a way for them to escape. And while they were in there, Pharaoh charges in after him. Oh, I tell you, that devil's bold. Huh? He's bold. He come charging in after them like as if God is going. I mean, when is this guy's brains going to kick in and let him realize what's going on? I mean, he ain't got noodle one. That's another quote from my dad, quoting him a lot this morning. He ain't got noodle one. He heads down in there with his crew, his army, his chariots, six, I don't know how many they had, a bunch, and they head down in there pursuing after the children of Israel. You know what? Children of Israel, they were being protected, but it was hard for them to distinguish between the chaos and the protection. Because, you know, it could be a little confusing sometimes if that's a dust cloud behind me or if that's the cloud of God. You know, it could be a little, in a chaotic situation, and when fear is driving you, you almost lose track of where God is. And how's He in this? Even though they're walking over on dry ground. They're still, as good as that is, Pharaoh's still coming. He's using the same path. What good did that path do them? If Pharaoh gets to use it to chase them down, now it sure seems like God is against us. Yeah. He's letting the devil use the same path to catch us that he let me have to get away from him. Why? Huh? That cloud becomes so confusing to them. May have. You know what? The Bible says, read this sometime there in that chapter. It said that God looked out through the cloud at Pharaoh. Can you just see him almost kind of parting that little curtain of cloud? And he looked in there. And he see Pharaoh coming in his power, in his splendor. Chariots rumbling. Horses. He hears the cracking of the whips. The horses are running all out. They look like derby runners, every one of them. They're running. They're flying through there. Dust coming up off the chariot wheels. Soldiers running like they're soccer players. Them guys can run forever. running. Here they come with their armor, spears, arrows, swords, all the stuff. They're just keeping on coming. And God's watching. He said, well, look at them go. Huh? And the Bible said he reached over there and he took their chariot wheels off. Isn't that funny? God's got a sense of humor, ain't he? He took their chariot wheels off and it said that they were driving. And in my terminology, it was like they thought they were stuck in the mud. They were whipping them horses, and the horses are lunging, and the chariots are going almost nowhere, and pandemonium sets in. And then their old noodle kicks in. And they said, you know, it could be that God is for these people and against us. Hello. Little late, big guy. Little late for that one. Yeah, they turned, dragging axles off, running the bottoms out of their chariots, dragging it right down, trying to get out of there. But it was too late. For Moses and his people had made it to the other side. And as they came out on the other side and was standing there looking back, they could still see Pharaoh and his people in there. Oh, their hearts pounding. And all at once, God let the water fall. And simultaneously, in one blink of an eye, those mountains of water crushed in and swallowed up Pharaoh and his army. And true to Moses' word, these Egyptians you see today, ye shall see no more forever. They watched as God smashed them, killed them. And the next morning, the only thing they saw left was floating dead bodies of the enemy. What seems today to be the very thing that is going to destroy us. It's going to destroy you, going to take you out. If you can remain faithful to God and stick with Him, stick with Him, He will annihilate your enemy. And you will have a day that you will stand on the shores of glory. And you will praise your Savior forever for all that He has done. Oh, you'll sing a song better than Miriam was able to sing. The horse and rider hath He drowned into the sea, or that He has thrown into the sea. She sung a great song, but oh, one better than that will we sing. Oh, the devil himself hath God triumphed over gloriously. He has cast him into the bottomless pit forever and forever. Hey, that's the song we'll be singing one day. That's the thing that we'll be witnessing with our own eyes not many days hence. Oh, let's stand this morning. It's not a day to feel defeated, folks. Now, from all practicality, from all natural situations and standpoint, it's a fearful time. I'm watching as I watch our church come under such horrible attack. It's a physical onslaught of hell that's come against so many, affected so many families and individuals. From a natural standpoint, it seems almost too much. But from the spiritual, God is still in control. He knows exactly what you're going through. And He has not abandoned you. Not at all. Don't get confused with that cloud. You thinking that might be the dust of the devil running around you in circles? That could be the angel of the Lord encamping around you. He could be totally under control in your life, or in control in your life. And I can assure you, He is. God's not done. He's not threw in the towel. He's still in control, and He will finish what He has started. And there is coming an end to the devil, to temptation, to trial, to persecution, to sickness, to disease, to fear, to failure. There's coming an end to it all. It's coming for those that'll be faithful to the end, that'll hang on in spite of it all. And the thing about it is, when your strength seems so weak to hang on, if you'll lean on the Lord, He'll give you the strength you need. His grace is sufficient. Amen. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. For this enemy you see today, you will see him no more forever. Hallelujah. Let's give God praise right now. Oh, hallelujah. Mighty God, you're worthy. Oh, you're worthy this morning. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your word of life and for the hope and the strength. We thank you, Lord, for your presence this morning. Oh, we thank you, Jesus. Oh, we thank you, Jesus. We thank you that our names have been written in the Lamb's book of life. We thank you, Lord, that our sins are washed away by your blood. We thank you, Jesus. Oh, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you. Oh, we praise your holy name. We magnify you, mighty God. We magnify you. Oh, you're worthy. Oh, if you're here this morning, you're not where you need to be with the Lord. Oh, there's a place here for you to pray.